Hello. Sorry. Welcome to When the Kids Go Down. This is Ari Thomas. I have a sick child again because he's small and germs are big. It's the change of seasons. There's something going around. I hesitate saying anything when about any part of my children at all because you can never do anything right with the masses. Masses. Wow. Hello. That was my lisp coming back. Used to be really bad because of my jaw, but it's better because of my jaw. So anyways, welcome back. Fuck. I had recorded like some part already before, but I don't know if it made sense. And it was like half a story. So let's get into the full story. So I have a weekly report for this episode, but I wanted to talk about like how to check in with yourself. I used to have these like mental health apps that I would download, like, I don't know. I used to have like a bunch of mental health apps just because I like to meditate. I've been meditating since I was a teenager. Sorry, I just had a bunch of mucus. That's gross. My nose is all phlegmy, so forgive me. I was just interrupted by a baby, and I want to say that if you have small babies or if you want to have babies, 100% recommend doing the baby sign language because it's kind of hilarious when they're trying to talk to you and they talk to you in their sign language stuff. Yeah, because like my baby will just like a toy will be like the batteries run out or something, and he does the all done sign and he's like flipping out with his hands. Sorry, it's just funny because he gets all upset, and when they want more, they just like aggressively sign for more. They're also just like so intelligent, incredibly smart, and it's just so funny to watch them like put things together and communicate in that way. So I don't know, I just like every time that, which is twice that I've had a baby, and it just they communicate like that. It's just so funny because you're talking and it's just crazy. I don't know, it's very cool. Because oftentimes you can like hear they'll say things like when my kids first started saying, like they say awa for water, and when they first started, you know, it's kind of like babbled, and then you start to recognize that they're saying that because they say it over and over until you get it. But with the sign, it's so clear that that's what they're doing. Okay, so anyway, I used to have like mental health apps because I would meditate and always like I have anxiety and I like to check in with myself because it helps relieve my anxiety. So I used to have a whole bunch, and then I have kids, so like most of their photos take up my storage, and I just recently like uploaded a lot of photos to a thumb drive so that I could clear up some space and stop paying for so much storage on my phone. And I downloaded like this little app, and it's been like I've had it for like a week now, and I have kind of abandoned it. So I don't know. I was like really liking it at first, and then it just kind of got annoying to like check in all the time. It feels like a little Tamagotchi like pet because I'm having like the more that I check in on it and myself, the more that I like achieve tasks like brushing my. I have like a list of that I can customize of tasks. So like getting out of bed, brushing my teeth, taking a shower, affirmations, deep breaths, getting morning sunlight, just like a bunch of different things that I can do throughout the day. And the more that I do, or the more that I check off that I do, getting like so much water or whatever. And I like the water aspect because I can get reminders to drink water. My son has this skeleton book that he likes to read. And I didn't know this. I feel like I should have known this. But when you are thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. Well, it's not too late, like, but it means that, you know, your body's like already dehydrated. So you need to drink water when you're just like, oh, I'm thirsty. I didn't know that, and I feel like I should have known that, but I'd like this app to remind me to drink water, because sometimes I'll just forget if I don't, if it feels like if I don't immediately start my day off with a glass of water, then it'll be hours until I realize I haven't had any water. So a lot of my favorite meditation apps that I used to use, either don't exist anymore or they became like extremely popular and now they're behind like a paywall of what else like. So, you know, use all of it. Like I used to use I don't know if it was always behind a paywall, but I had Headspace in like 2015 because I worked at Starbucks, and there were a few brands like HelloFresh or whatever that would give you like discounts for, and Headspace is one of them, for Starbucks partners. And so I had it, I think this was like in the beginning of when they were like first launching too, because some of them were like, some apps were like not ready. You'd get like a pamphlet of like subscriptions or apps or whatever that were like coming soon. And you just like, I don't know, you would just download them and enter your partner numbers, or you would go to like the partner website for your Starbucks thing, your portal, and then, you know, use them or whatever. So, or be able to access them on a discount or for free. Headspace is one of them. I finished all the free stuff, and then they like added more with the paywall, and I just haven't gone in since. I don't know, I haven't messed with it, but I really liked it in the beginning. There's also just like a few ones that were very small developers like put out. And I don't know, I like finding little more niche, small apps like that, because there's not a lot of like, there's very simple. So, but in practicing meditation and using these apps, I was able to like figure out how to check in with myself, so that I can relax. And I'll admit, I went through like a very manic prefrontal cortex phase from like 21 to 24. Mostly, I felt like a lot of it happened when I was 23. I don't know why. I was working three jobs, so maybe that was a little bit why. Was I at that point? Yeah. But anyway, I just learned how to like check in with myself. Yeah. Okay. So there's more I could probably say there, but I won't. So first of all, you have to identify the pattern. So like if it's negative self-talk, or if it's spending money you don't have, what's another aspect? So negative self-talk, spending money you don't have, overindulging in like maybe foods that don't feel good, or just like binging, you know? So identify the pattern. So for me, a lot of it is negative self-talk. So I'll have these negative thoughts in my head, or I went through a period of financial stress, whether I had funds or not, I would just find myself like calculating for months from now. And it's not even like in a budgeting way. I was just like, just trying to, I don't know, to be over control, like have a control, just try to control it, where I felt like I was closing myself off to more opportunities because I was saying, this is what I have. How do I like, it's like having, you know, rice and saying, okay, I have this rice that I can survive on for this long, instead of going out and hunting. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, anytime that I would like find myself crunching numbers in my head for no fucking reason out of nowhere, it's just like a thing that happened, or I would find myself like talking to myself negatively, whether that be like trying to put myself out there, or just like unhappy with my appearance or whatever, I literally stop and identify that that is what I'm doing. And then I feel where, this would be like step two, is feeling where it manifests in my body. So clenched jaw, or like eye straining from like, you know, furrowing my brow and creating tension, raising my shoulders being raised, or biting the inside of my cheek, or if I feel it in my stomach where I feel like kind of queasy, maybe my chest feels tighter, my breathing feels more heavy, or I feel just like a weight on my chest, like that literal, you know, weight that you feel. So feeling where that is in your body, and then step three would be like to release that tension. So, and acknowledge that that's the pattern. So like different feelings could manifest in different places of your body. So if I'm feeling, you know, like anxious about posting something or uploading something, then I may feel that in my stomach. And so I can't, or I mainly feel that way when I talk about like issues with my brother. This past weekend was like, we were talking about my mom, and I started to, he's like doesn't, it's like water off his back. Is that a correct term? Where it just like, you know, it just like falls off his back. He doesn't care. But for me, like some things I just get like, he's more resilient, I would say, or he's, I don't know if he's more resilient or he's just like better at masking that, but I was like starting to eat super fast. And I was like, hold on, I'm not going to digest my food because I'm just like, I'm like stabbing my food now. And I'm just like eating it so quickly and crunching it. And like, I'm like, hold on, calm down. Like, just first of all, don't have to talk about this. And second of all, just be. With the negative self-talk, I usually feel like my jaw's clenched. And I literally tell myself that, like, I'm going to be ugly if I keep doing this because I'm going to, like, grind my teeth away or something. So that's a big motivator to not do this for me. I release that tension and acknowledge that, okay, when I think about this or when I have these negative thoughts, my jaw clenches. Or when I talk about, like, my mommy issues, my tummy feels bad and then I can't digest my food. And then I'm holding on to, like, my food not being digested properly and creating gut issues for me. So I just like always tell myself like, this is going to make you ugly and I don't want to be ugly. So, and also like the way that we talk to ourselves feels ugly, you know, not just like in a physical way, but like, it also like, you know, it doesn't feel great to have and hold in your body. So step four would be to choose change. And that's where a lot of us just kind of ignore. We understand like where it's manifesting and what's happening in the pattern, but then we just like ignore it. And that's not doing anything but allowing it to take over. So choosing to change is the fourth step. The fifth step, which I actually wrote six, I guess I just didn't. So the fifth step would be to love language yourself. So for me, again, the negative, when I'm hating on myself, it's in a negative self-talk. And when I love, my love language is words of affirmation. And so I will literally words of affirmate myself three times, either out loud or written down. And after I've identified where it's manifested, I've released that tension, then I will comfort myself in a love language-y way. So if it's like, if your love language is like acts of service, maybe doing something for yourself, I feel like maybe cleaning up like your bookshelf or your vanity may be like a good act of service to do for yourself, making yourself like a nice cup of tea and going a little extra with like the lemon, lemon slice or honey, or even finding like a unique like honey stick with like turmeric or something that just, I don't know, it's a little different. So doing something for yourself if that's your love language. And then number six being to note the win. So you took care of yourself. So acknowledge that and also give yourself a little bit of like praise for that and continue to do this over and over every time, because that's the whole point. Again, I'm a broken record with this, but the whole point of being mindful is and meditation is to acknowledge, fix, and then continue the cycle of taking care of yourself, not the cycle of whatever bad thing that you're doing to yourself. Okay, I hope I don't sound too much like a broken record. I just want you to take care of yourself and then take care of our world, because you'll be taking care of yourself. So reading, we're going to do our report now, our reading. I just finished Beautiful Worlds, Where Are You? By Sally Rooney. I gave it 5 stars. I absolutely love this book, and I want to give a copy to everyone in my life that I love. So the audiobook, though, is 33 chapters for some reason, and the physical book is 30. So as you know, I sometimes will tandem listen and read. Is that the correct word? So I will, like, you know, read during the day when I have time, during nap time or car rides, and then like sometimes in bed. But like, again, my light to like my book light is too bright. Also, it's not mine, it's my husband's, and I did break it for the second time, so I needed another one. And at this point, might as well go and look for some light that is not that bright. So when I'm in bed and I'm like playing my game that I play at night, I will like listen to the audiobook. And it was so confusing because I would go back to like read where I left off and the chapters weren't adding up. And so I would have to go, like, it wasn't like too bad. It was like a few pages, but I would go into the next chapter and like try to find where I was at. And like chapter like 6 or 5 in the book is like 2 pages or 3 pages. And then it was saying that it was like a 20-minute chapter in the fucking audiobook. So I was like so confused, but it was, it got better. I don't know. I really enjoyed this one. It was like the house is on fire and I'm on a deserted island. That this is one of the books I'm grabbing. So it's a deserted island book and it's houses on fire, bookstores on fire. It's like Catcher in the Rye and then Beautiful World, Where Are You? That is a lot. That's saying a lot. That's like, I give a lot of, I'm a serial 5-star reviewer, giver, whatever. And I am also known to say like, this is my a God tier book or whatever. Like I said that to Hellbent. I would grab this before Hellbent. I just resonated with it. And Sally Rooney has a way of like, just, of understanding, like of making you feel so much emotion. I just love it. Also, she makes you feel, she just like, sometimes like her intimate scenes are like depressing. And so it feels kind of icky, but in like a sad way, not like a, I don't know. It's just, it's always funny how she can just really pull out so much emotion from you. And I had some annotated a lot, but okay. So I'm going to read the back. I'm going to read the back real quick. Because I didn't write a summary. So, all right. So Alice, a novelist, meets Felix, who works in a warehouse, and asks him if he'd like to travel to Rome with her. In Dublin, her best friend, Eileen, is getting over a breakup and slips back into flirting with Simon, a man she has known since childhood. Alex, Felix, Eileen, and Simon are still young, but life is catching up with them. They desire each other. They delude each other. They get together. They break apart. They have sex. They worry about sex. They worry about their friendship and the world that they live in. They are standing in the last lightened room before the darkness, bearing witness to something. That was a question. Sorry. Will they find a way to believe in a beautiful world? So it's a coming to age, but they're like, you know, not like preteen or teenager. They're a little older. It does go into like a little bit of childhood and a teenage, but not like too much. And it's just, I think I like the coming to age book, particularly with like college and young adults, like, you know, pre-adult, but you know, like early 20s or mid 20s or whatever to 30s. And I think that's why I like The Catcher in the Rye so much. And this one, like, this is, I don't know, it would make sense. And also like Perks of Being a Wallflower is one of my favorite books. So, but that's high school, but also like college, they're getting ready for college, whatever. I think that's just like probably my favorite book genre, which is why, like, I always say like, these are my deserted island books. I don't want to give, it follows like Eileen and Alex, mostly Eileen. And a lot of it is through like email, they correlate through email. And so I found Eileen to be a little insufferable at times. And it took her like literally 29 chapters to gain self-awareness. And so I was a little frustrated with her. But also like maybe those are just like reflections of what I'm feeling about myself or have felt in the past about myself. Which is why I love reading books so much. So I highlighted on chapter, sorry, on page 344 in the book. There's this paragraph of parasocial relationships that I found very insightful, not just for like, you know, what the influencers that we follow or authors in their lives or celebrities or whatever, but like for people who have known us throughout our lives and have this like picture of the person that we were then, and that's how they see us now, is like through that lens of who they met or who they knew at that point. So if, you know, when people from life follow us on social media, I feel like they do have this perception of you from how or who you were when they met you, and everything that you do now is through that lens. And it's just, you know, we're ever evolving and ever changing. So that's not going to be correct, but it is very natural. So it's just very, I don't know if it's validating or just like a nice thing to read. And then there's some on like motherhood or becoming a parent. I hope that's not like a major spoiler. Sorry. But I felt a lot of, what do you say? Like, I felt, obviously you feel like this identity shift when you become a parent, but, and specifically like, you know, from girl to mother. And there was just like this, it's just, I knew that I wanted kids, right? And I knew when I knew, and I felt it with every fiber of my being. And then I also felt like I was a person who loved to talk about like things that I want to accomplish in my life. And I had big goals and big dreams, and I didn't talk about them as if they were like a dream. I talked about them as if they just like already existed. And I've always done that. And I just remember like, I don't know, like if you've, I don't know, I just like, I just haven't, I've wanted things and I've wanted to travel, and I don't know when that's going to happen, but like, I just don't feel like why it shouldn't happen. And so I just kind of like, I don't know. I don't know. And I feel like when I had kids and when I bought a home, which is a big, you know, decision to do, a lot of people just like, especially like older people in my family, have tied me down to like being a housewife now and like staying in my hometown, having children. And like, this is like now my identity. And it was not how I felt. I just didn't feel like that was like, it was set in stone, even though we bought a home. You know what I mean? This is just like the time that I'm in and the time that I chose to be in it. I don't even feel like I chose it. I just feel like I just knew that this is where like my life was headed. I don't, not let my life was headed this way. It's just like what I needed to do in the moment, right? And so I read this passage and I'm going to read it to you now. So she's talking about like motherhood. Let me read. I don't know if I need to give more context. Okay, so let me just read it. Again, sorry to spoil this, but we have, okay, so on, I'm going to read the line before to give like a little more context. So the line before I annotated is, I suppose I mean that children are coming anyway. And in the grand scheme of things, it won't matter much whether any of them are mine or his. Okay, so the lines that I have highlighted. We have to try either way to build a world where they can live in. And I feel in a strange sense that I want to be on the children's side and on the side of their mothers. To be with them, not just as an observer, admiring them from a distance, speculating about their best interest, but one of them. So that's exactly how I felt. Also, I didn't like ever really know if I, because I feel like I've been told my whole life that like, your point of being a woman is to have children and get married. But I also felt like my parents just like, they like, I was constantly being told like, oh my God, just like that, if hopefully I marry rich or, I don't know, just like basically I wouldn't be able to like make it on my own and like not be tolerated by men or a partner, right? So I just didn't know how like being a mother would fit for me because of how I was told that I was like basically incapable of it emotionally and mentally. And I just like also felt like it's what I wanted, but like I didn't know how to be one and I didn't know like what that would look like. So anyways, I also downloaded, I also highlighted where she said that it would be important for her. So she said it's important for me. And then a few passages down, it says, I feel it, and I know it to be true. And that's exactly how I felt when I decided, like, this is, like, it was a very intuitive feeling of just, like, I have to be a mom right now. And then, you know, it wasn't like baby fever, where, like, babies are cute, oh, so cherub, but, like, let me hold your baby, he's adorable. Like, I never felt that way. I never wanted to, like, hold someone's baby. It felt very awkward holding babies. But when I had this very intuitive feeling of, like, this is my time to be a mother, it was just like I have to have a baby, and thankfully I was able to have a baby without any like complications. So I'm very, very lucky and grateful for that. I also, let's see what else I have. Sorry, I'm trying to read where mentally. Okay, right. So just more stuff on like babies. Okay, yeah. Okay, let me skip this page and go to the next one. Okay, so this is also just on the same stuff. I'm going to read the passage before so that it has more context. I suppose I think that having a child is simply the most ordinary thing I can imagine doing, and I want that. And now this is the part that I highlighted. To prove that the most ordinary thing about a human or about human beings is not violence or greed, but love and care. That. So not, I didn't want to like feel like I'm proving people, my parents, or like wrong by saying that like I can do this in a healthy way, but more so that like it doesn't happen, like not to like I can want everything that I want and be everyone who, or everything that I want to be, and also just pour love and care into like these little human beings. In turn, we'll pour all that love and care into the world. So anyway, that was a 5-star read for me, and I loved it. I'm also reading Out on a Limb by Hannah Bonham Young. That wasn't a question. That's just the way I talk. So Winifred, also known as Win, and Beau are, they have a, shit, what am I talking about? Win, our FMC, is hyper-independent due to being raised by two single moms. So it's not like, it was her mother who was a single mother and her mother's best friend. And she was raised alongside her mother's best friend's daughter. So her best friend and her mom's best friend, they all, you know, were very, does that make sense? Hold on. My words aren't coming out of my brain. Wayne's mom was a single mom. She lived with her best friend, who was also a single mom, to a daughter as well. And so they became best friends, and their moms are also best friends. So she's hyper independent because of that, but also because she has an underdeveloped hand that she's had to, like, you know, work through managing daily tasks that we do with both of our working limbs that we don't ever think twice about, that she's had complications on. In her life. So she meets Beau at her best friend's Halloween party, and Beau has he's an amputee. So they have a one night stand, and then there's an accidental pregnancy. They become strangers. Well, they are strangers, and then they become friends. It's a friends to lovers. Forced proximity by roommates. So they become roommates eventually. And then, you know, their story kind of like unravels from there. I'm 75% done with it. It was one of my Hoopla, not rentals, what do you call it? Check, like my library checkouts for this month. I was so happy when the month restarted and I could have my like 7 that I can check out for free instantly. And so that was one of them. When I started to get into romance, that was one of them that was recommended. It's very lengthy. It's like 20 hours long. Okay? Yeah? All done? 20 hours may be an exaggeration. There's lots of banter, and Beau's a very respectable man. Win and her best friend Sarah play this game, worst case scenario, whenever they're feeling overcome by a particular situation, in which they play out the worst case scenario. And I feel like Win is in the best case scenario, just doesn't know it yet, not understand, but doesn't really, or maybe she hasn't fully accepted it yet. So I'm very, very interested. What did I say? Not interested. Like it, and I'm going to miss these characters. Like I'm like into it. You know what I mean? Like I'm, oh my God, what am I thinking? What is the word? Are you screaming it at me? It's invested. I'm invested. I'm very invested. I think this is, I don't know. It's really good. I don't know. I've never read a book with like pregnancy. And so like, I know that's like a trope that people, it's like controversial, but I hear that this one is done right, but this is my first like ever introduction to it. So I'm locked in. Next is I'm also reading Beach Read by Emily Henry. I'm like 2 pages in, so don't quote me on, I'm reading it. And then My Friends by Frederick Backman. Also reading that and annotating the F out of it. I am like just a few chapters in, but I'm just like, I can't stop. And I've cried twice already. So I know I'm going to be loving it. Okay. Well, I am loving it. Eating. My brother made the best smash burgers. He's the best at making smash burgers, but he makes like, he also made these like cucumbers, like finger lady sandwiches. Oh my God, they were so good. We are Hispanic and we didn't grow up with like I think like little snack foods were like my favorite because we didn't grow up eating them. And I remember the first time that I had this was at like a church potluck, and we were just like, "What the fuck is this?" And he had the same experience, so he made some, and they were amazing. He also just like makes the best smash burgers ever, and so I had the best smash burgers at our barbecue that we had the other week. I've also been eating a ton of acai bowls, because again, we found the perfect like place for, I don't know, I found a really good acai bowl, and so it's my hyperfixation meal until meal. I said that very Texan, until I am over it, and then I don't know, we'll move on to the next thing, but for now I am just hyperfixate hyper what the fuck, what the fuck, what is wrong with, I'm sorry, I have to stop. Okay, acai bowls next. Jesus, is pee playing? So The World We Knew Over and Over in parentheses by Frank Sinatra. Let me tell you right now, if you put on Frank Sinatra and your partner does not like it, red flag, red flag. Frank Sinatra will make any moment iconic. So this song in particular has been like on repeat lately. I don't, getting ready, out on a walk, driving, making food, hanging out, it makes anything better. I mean, any situation just elevated. So The World We Knew by Frank Sinatra. Oh, obsessing. I have been obsessing with honestly just being 30 and wine bottles. So any situation that I get in where I'm like, I'm living in, like I feel like I'm living in squalor, which I'm not. It's just like any mess to my Virgo ascending feels like too claustrophobic. And I know I've said this a million times, but anytime that I'm like feeling that way, I'm like, you're fucking 30. Like, get your shit together. You know what I mean? Or anytime that I'm like, oh, what if I look stupid? I don't, you're fucking 30. Okay. You want to be stupid? Because if that's what you want to be, then be stupid. Like anytime that I feel, I don't know, overwhelmed or like I can't do something or just like everything is closing in on me, I'm like, you're 30. Get a hold of yourself. Like, not even get a hold of yourself, but like, you're better than that. You know what I mean? Like, you're 30. You did it already. You already had that moment. Like, just, you can do it. You can do it. And like, it's not that serious. And also, like, who gives a fuck what any, no one, like, who fucking cares what someone who is younger than you thinks because you're 30, and who cares what someone older than you thinks because like you're 30. You know what I mean? Like, you win either way. I'm winning either way. So anytime like something is bothering me, I'm just like, I'm 30. It doesn't fucking matter. Also, wine bottles. I've been enjoying some like Pinot Grigio and Sauvignon Blanc. I'm enjoying some white wines right now. And I'm also like, I go by what is reviewed well. And also by price, because if it's too cheap, it's not, it's gonna taste like fucking shoe polish remover. And I'm not about that. Nail polish remover, shoe polish. It's gonna taste and smell rancid. So go a little bit, you know, mid-budget, and then find something that's cute and has good reviews on it. I've been like, because I recycle my bottles. I put candles in them, I dress them up. I used to put them, I've always done this with like sparkling waters. You know what I'm fucking talking, mineral waters. When I was like a teenager, I used to put them on my windowsill with like, I would cut out stuff from magazines and put it inside. And like, there was one point so iconic. It was like the Beatles swimming, and I cut it out and put it in the bottle, and it like made it look like they were swimming in my bottle. Genius. I'll never forget that moment of genius. And I also like, you know, painted them, and I have a whole bunch that are still at my mom's house that I had a friend who bartended at a winery, and he like kept some for me because I was gonna like DIY a wedding that I never had because we just got court, I almost said courtside married, courthouse married, please. And yeah, so I had a bunch of these like bottles still, or I do have a bunch still at my parents. But anyways, like when I've been getting bottles recently, which I say bottles, but I'm like literally like a bottle a week. I pick something cute so that I can have it. And there's one recently where the glass that I got is really, really pretty. It's like a bluish green color. And I can't wait to put some flowers in it because it looks just like it's calling for a flower. And I'm gonna pick up that phone and put it in there. Are recommending Limoncello, LaCroix. I haven't had a limoncello for real, but limoncello LaCroix or just sparkling water in general. I have like a soft spot in my heart for limoncello LaCroix because it came out when I was postpartum with my first kiddo. And I just remember like cracking open a limoncello and drinking it while nursing when I was on maternity leave, unpaid. And it was just a very like, I don't know, it was so good. And it was very summery, spring vibed. It was summer. And it just like fit the moment and it tastes delicious. And I will always be fond of that drink because it will always remind me of being a mom for the first time and nursing our little baby with the sun going down, hitting the house like at the perfect, like with the perfect sunlight, whatever. And that limoncello smell and taste. And it's just, if you have a hard time like drinking water, go get yourself a case of sparkling water. Okay. It's like $4, $3 for a case of like 8, which is like, maybe that seems like a lot, but also just like $3 a day to get all your water intake. Like just drink the whole thing all day, you know, do that. Even if you're going like for a, what am I thinking of? The Spindrifts that are like a little bit more like pricier, you know, they're like $8 for a case of like 8. Okay, it's still like a buck a drink. Like I get it, like it's kind of pricey, but also like that's a latte and it's your whole day's worth of like, I said coffee, of water, you know, just drink the fucking case a day and then get your water down and have it in a fun way. Like if you have a hard time drinking water, try that. Just saying. Tea treating. Honestly, myself to some self-love and acceptance and forgiveness. Anytime that like I have been stressing about anything, I just don't let it sweat. Like I just like don't care that like I even stressed out about it. Like I used to beat myself up about stressing out. And now I'm just like, okay, you did that, but like you don't have to do it again. Just like calm down. And I feel better. Like I'm not like gaslighting myself. It sounds like I'm gaslighting myself. But I'm not like giving myself so much grief over like doing something that I'm regretting or feel regretful over. I'm just like, you did it. And like, there's no point in dwelling over it. You're 30, shut the fuck up. And yeah, so I've been treating myself to not being that serious because it's not, and I'm feeling good. I don't know. The sun's shining, limoncello smells in the air. I almost said stank. things are good. Feeling good. Okay. Positive. Now time to, clean up my physical world because like I said, sick kid. And a week before had just like a bunch of cloudy mentalness and also cloudy outside. So it's bright outside, bright inside. We're feeling good. Okay. I love you so much. I will see you back next week. I hope you have a great week. Oh, child screamed at me. Okay. Bye.